From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you and welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in today as we turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, reading into the 10th chapter, as we continue our studies in the life of Christ. The theme of today's message and the messages this week will be Christ, the Lord of the Harvest. So stay with us as we spend some time together in God's Word. We commence, however, with our hot topic for today, ACLU lawyer on porn charge. Last month I commented on the ACLU's abuse of Americans' right to free speech to protect peddlers of pornography. I'm indebted to a listener for updating me on the subject. I was unaware that the ACLU lawyer who fought the pornography case in question was himself arrested on pornography charges. On February 26, 2006, this attorney, Charles Russ Tierney, former president of the ACLU chapter in Virginia, was arrested in his home for having hardcore, violent child pornography on his home computer. According to ABCNews.com, Mr. Russ Tierney had been subscribing to these porn sites for several years. He also was active in coaching youth sports in Virginia. It's more than coincidental that the case did not receive much coverage from most of the main news outlets. It appears that while it's newsworthy when some youth pastor or any other church worker becomes involved in child pornography, the media are all over the story. I have no difficulty with their reporting these crimes. It is in everyone's interest to have child predators identified, exposed, and dealt with by the full force of the law. That goes for pastors, youth pastors, and church workers of any description. But it also goes for ACLU lawyers, especially those who had gained a lot of personal access to young people through coaching youth sports. For some reason, the major media remains strangely quiet on the ACLU lawyer. I say for some reason, but I think most of us know the reason very well. The ACLU has a lot of fellow travelers in the media. What we should note is that the ACLU claim to be the guardians of civil rights, doing their noble work in a disinterested fashion and having no other agenda than our personal and collective constitutional freedom, is as bogus as a $3 bill. In the case we have been dealing with, the ACLU sent along a lawyer who had a very personal agenda. To make pornography peddling a lawful occupation was clearly in the interest of a man who was breaking the law by loading his computer with violent child porn images. We should beware when porn merchants pose as defenders of civil liberties. They are part of one of the most degrading and abusive activities known in this age of gross perversion. A man can hardly sink lower than to get his kicks from watching the violent rape of innocent children, little ones who will be scarred for life to satisfy the hellish depravity of paedophiles. Such people may rant about freedom of speech, but it's not free speech they're interested in. They're interested in promoting moral anarchy. And so long as their disgusting passions are indulged and sated, they care little how many people get hurt in the process. That U.S. courts have fallen for the obviously specious free speech defense of pornography peddlers is unconscionable. It seems clear that the Founding Fathers aimed at securing the right of American citizens to voice their political views, including their opposition to the government, without fear of reprisal from the state. It's a quantum leap to get from that laudable aim to seeing a constitutional protection for every form of self-expression, especially for the dissemination of material that will injure and corrupt our children. There are evil forces at work for the destruction of America from within. Unless God in mercy visits us with light and power through the gospel, the moral future of the nation is bleak indeed.
Each month, Let the Bible Speak produces what we simply call the Let the Bible Speak monthly tape, or CD for those who prefer it. This is a sort of electronic magazine, and it's a very useful thing to have. For example, some older folk may have difficulty reading a magazine, but they can listen to a tape or CD. Another example, some people are pushed for time, but have time as they drive here and there in their car. And a good tape can be a means not only of making the journey more pleasant, but of spiritual blessing to their hearts. The Let the Bible Speak monthly tape or CD has an exposition of Scripture, a devotional message, and a testimony or missionary segment, all with some good Christian music. Our monthly tape or CD is available to you free of charge if you simply write or call and request it. And I hope you will. I know it will be a blessing to your heart, so get in touch today. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres, F-R-E-E-P-R-E-S, ltbs@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you.
Turning in God's Word this morning to Matthew's Gospel, the end of the 9th chapter, reading into the 10th chapter. The theme of the passage, as we continue our studies in the life of Christ, is the Lord of the harvest. We're starting to read at verse 36 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip, and Bartholomew. Thomas, and Matthew the publican. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying,
Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this familiar passage from his own precious word for his name's sake. In our last two studies in the life of Christ, we considered Christ as the commanding Christ. And then last week, in the verses preceding where we started our Bible reading today, we thought of the compassion of Christ. Now today's study combines the two ideas of the commanding and the compassionate Christ. Christ's care for the multitude was no impotent wish to do them good. That is a very simple statement to make. It is a statement with rather large theological ramifications. I don't want to get off down a rabbit trail so early in the message this morning. But let me ask you to keep it in mind when you come to those passages such as John 3:16 and following, which describe the will of God and the love of God toward the salvation of sinners. Remember that the love of God, the kindness of God, the compassion of the Savior is not, as it may well be in the case of us creatures, a mere feeling that we would like to do them good if we could. There is no such limitation on the ability of the Savior. His compassion is not merely some impotent wish to do them good, but rather it is a powerful purpose to effect that good for their souls. Thus, we read here that having compassion on the multitude, he commanded prayer for them and for God to send forth laborers among them. And immediately, and this is why we read on through the chapter break, immediately he began to provide the answer to that prayer by commanding and commissioning the 12 disciples to go forth in the power of the Holy Ghost with the word of the gospel. Now this is a passage that shows to us, therefore, what Christ's heart is toward the lost. He says, pray that God will send laborers to bring them in. And immediately he sends forth laborers to bring them in. We get a sight of his heart toward the lost. And in this we get something of an understanding of what our heart ought to be toward the lost. I don't want us to keep on repeating something that comes up quite frequently in any study of the life of Christ, but I don't want us also to overlook it. That is, when you study the life of the Savior,
you find what you and I ought to be, especially in our attitude to the lost souls of men and women. It's very, very easy to become so churchified that we become fossilized. It's very easy to become so comfortable in attending church, even in learning the serious truths of the gospel, to become so enamored with what we ourselves are learning and what good it is doing to our own souls, that we begin to overlook that one of the primary purposes for there being a church on earth is to preach the gospel of Christ and to labor for the winning of the lost. The church cannot continue as Word of God depicts it to be, if I may use the term, a self-propagating body, unless it keeps on bringing new sinners to Christ. And so here we get a view of the Savior's heart and what our heart ought to be. The end of chapter 9 is truly a great passage, when we can see in Christ a great passion. I'm not going to repeat what we covered last week in dealing with the compassion of Christ. But that compassion of Christ was based on a mighty passion for the lost. And I only throw it out for you to think upon. Who can begin to describe the love of Christ for sinners? Paul the Apostle spoke of the dimensions of God's love in Christ at the end of Ephesians chapter 3. And he said that after all his years in the Christian life, after all his years of special revelation, all his years of very close communion with God, after all his years of serving and preaching and seeing revival, his prayer was still that he would know the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of God in Jesus Christ. He still felt, this is the man, remember, who had such revelations from God, whether in the body or out of the body, it was impossible for him to tell. Such revelations from God that it was illegal for him even to speak of them. He never described them. Such were the heavenly intimations that God made to his soul. And here is this man confessing that after all these years, he is like a little boy on the edge of a mighty ocean. He still has never been able to get out into the marvelous depths of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who can tell the love, the passion in the heart of the Son of God that drove him from the throne of heaven to a lowly manger, and from a lowly manger to an even more lowly cross, and then to be buried in a lonely, borrowed tomb? Who can tell the love of the Savior that drove him to do this, not for fallen angels, but for fallen men? And not just for any man, but for the worst of men, for the vilest of offenders, for the wickedest of sinners, and even for you and me. There's a hymn that says, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? And it certainly is. We have often sung the hymn here, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It reaches to the highest star and reaches deep where sinners dwell. There's no telling of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's consumed with a mighty passion for the lost. And the servant, as we will discover as we go on in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, is not greater than his master. Verse 25 says, it's enough for the disciple to be as his master. And if the Son of God himself had this passion for the lost, then that's what he expects in some degree from every Christian. That's what he expects. A passion for the lost. Not just orthodox theology. Oh yes, we should have that. We need it. And I'd be the last one in the world to undervalue orthodoxy in theology. But you know, you can be dead right and be just plain dead.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.